the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the very good friends at ESFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, we had some shots in the regional tournament. We're going to certainly focus on that. There's no doubt about that. We saw some big performances, yes, indeed. And already we've got Kevin Sinclair, who made a brilliant 165 not out. Yes, he is with us already. We want to talk to him. We're also going to be getting some reaction, of course, from Jerome Foster. He was in Jamaica, and we're hoping to touch base with one or two others involved in relation to the regional tournament. As far as the World Cup is concerned, we hope to hear from our friends at Cricket West Indies. Yes, I was in contact with them, and a little bit later on, we hope to be able to touch base with them. Adrian Griffith, you remember him, former West Indies cricketer? Well, he's not with the ICC anymore, and it's looking as if he'll join us just around 7 o'clock or so to tell us about his very, very big job indeed, and look back at his role with the ICC. We're hoping that that will certainly come through. India up against England. Well, England losing. They've won the first test match, but then all hell broke loose. And India, in the end, winning the series, a good performance from them. There's no doubt about that. But what we also want to do is to possibly start to look at a World Cup squad. Yes, I want to start to look at a possible World Cup squad for the West Indies. So get your pen and paper and tell me who you think will actually make that team. We're less than 100 days away. In fact, there was a launch across the Caribbean on Thursday last. Without any further ado, we've got some special guests already. Kevin Sinclair from Guyana has joined us. It's good to have him on the show as well. Dr. Andrew Ford, my co-host, Phil O'Wallace in the cold, back in Man United, not doing very well in the as far as the football, of course, concerned in England. What a defeat for them, of course. But Basil Butcher, who's a West Brom man. Now, hello, gentlemen. How are you, Basil? Are you a West Brom man or are you a Man City man?
I used to be. I don't follow football anymore. But when I was a youngster coming up, I was a Manchester United fan because I started liking them all the way back in 1969 because of one Georgie Best.
Yes, indeed. And of course, Roland Hall has joined us as well. He's been making a lot of runs across the Caribbean. We want to hear from him. But without any further ado, let's go and talk to Kevin Sinclair. Kevin, are you back in Guyana?
Good evening, gentlemen. Yes, I'm back in Guyana, resting up a bit. And doing a little bit of reflection.
Reflection? Yeah. All right. Tell us about that reflection, Kevin. What are you reflecting on?
I obviously look back at my previous, innings, every innings I play, whether I fail or do good. Mm-hmm. So I look back at it and see, where did I do good and what I didn't do good. So for me, I just look back on, whether I be successful or unsuccessful, just look back at things that I do well and look to, move forward. Simple as it is.
Well, in fact, when we look at the runs, you got Louis at the top, Carter, Wickham, Walton, and then Kevin Sinclair. Three matches, 241 runs, 165 not out, but an average of 80.33. How do you rate that innings of 165? Would you consider it to be your best innings by far so far in cricket?
Yes, definitely. 165, I take that at the end of the day, my maiden 100 for Guyana as well. You know, everyone, you know, for the past couple of years been telling me, you know, how good of a batsman I am, you know, half century is not enough. So to get that monkey off the back there and, you know, to get my first 100 and it be that big, you know, 165, you know, I can take that any day, you know what I mean? And look forward for many more to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I know that Basil Butcher Jr., and the emphasis here is on Jr., the senior was the cricketer. He is very much with us as well. He's Guyanese like yourself. I know he will want to congratulate you. And of course, Dr. Ford and my good friend Philo Wallace will have a question or two for you. Basil, your countryman making some big runs.
Well, I know young Sinclair. I met him many years ago when he was under 15. He came up to New York.
Yes.
He was in, and I reminded him a couple of years ago when I saw him in Guyana. You know, now he was a big player now. That time he was under 15. And he said, oh, yes, I remember you, yes. So I would like to say well done to young Sinclair. Yes, he was making too many just 50s, and I'm glad to see he has broken the seal, and look forward to see him making him many more hundreds, because in my opinion, that is what is going to keep him in the West Indies team, is batting more so than his bowling, in my opinion.
Interesting comments coming. Well, a man who's made a lot of hundreds is Philo Wallace. Philo, of course, you would want to congratulate young Sinclair. Good evening to you, Philo.
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Dr. Ford. Dr. Basil Butcher Jr., Kevin. Want to say hello to my friend, Heart Boogie Burke. Carlos, always be praying for a big funeral in heaven. But Kevin, I just want to congratulate you on making a first-class 100. It is something special. Obviously, the hard work that you've put in, you've spoken a lot about the hard work, and you've dedicated a lot of this cricket that you play to people who have helped you. I want to just sum up, first of all, the trip in Australia, and then coming to the Caribbean and doing so well with the bat. What that trip to Australia, that series, would have really cemented in your subconscious as a batter. I'm not even going to touch your bowling because I think that's going to get better. As a batter, to come back to the region and stamp your authority to get that big 100.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that trip to Australia really played a major role in my development as a player generally. Batting, bowling, feeling, and even tactical-wise, you know what I mean? Looking at how captain go about their roles on the field and, you know, whatever strategy in terms of bowling change or field setting. So I would say generally it really play a major role in my cricket, you know, so far. And coming back to get 100, yes, you know, the bung's going to be different, the pitches play different, so yet they got to come and adjust on these wickets. So for me, the past two innings that I feel, you know, I had starts, but I didn't carry on. You know, I just look the part and look to take away the positive on it and, you know, look to stay out longer on these wickets. So, like I said, you know, the wickets play a bit different here and Australia. So, it's just about, you know, coming back and assess yourself and, you know, applying yourself and stay out there longer. Hence, it pay off for me in the end. But, yeah, Tour Australia definitely play a major role in my cricket so far, yeah.
Dr. Ford, any questions for the young Kevin?
Hey, well, good night to the panel and also to listeners. So, Kevin, we've seen what the young Indian players have done in this last test match victory, and we reflect on the performance of the West Indies team with yourself and Joseph and also another many other young West Indians. And, you know, you guys got an opportunity in a situation where maybe some people weren't available. And if they were, you wouldn't have had that opportunity. How important is it for young players to have a chance to show that they belong in, you know, at the highest level in cricket? And how do you feel about about having had that chance to play your first test and now come back and to do well at home?
Well, to be honest, you know, to be selected into any test, I mean, you must, you know, you must get the ability to, you know, to play at that level. When I say play at a level, there is some, you know, sort of, I should say, how must I put it? I mean, to be selected in any test side, I mean, definitely eligible, and you could play and you could represent the Caribbean and yourself very well. Not to take away anything from the players that, you know, didn't went and the opportunity that presented to younger players. For me, it was a great opportunity for me and not only the guys that, you know, that didn't get to play. So it's more like a learning curve for all of us. You know, we had some debutants there and they really, you know, show the Caribbean, show the world what they can do at that level. And like you said, coming back, going to be way, way different, like I mentioned. Pitches play different, the bunks different. So it's all about coming back again and adjust on these wickets. Mm-hmm. Yet, being a test player, got to show your worth once again. You just came back from a test tour, you don't want to get complacent, so you still got to go and play that brand of cricket. You know, many people come back and just relax. So for me, I didn't want to get complacent at all. I was just looking to, you know, continue in my good form, continue doing the good things, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's all for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were introduced to you as an off spinner and, you know, a player with a lot of vibrancy and doing your flips and, but, you know, most of us didn't realize that you could bat, and I must admit that it was a revelation for me. I had heard about how well you did on the A-team tour, but to see you bat and now to see you do this, I'm very impressed. So, in the West Indian team, you bat down the order. Even in this Guyanese team, you bat at seven. But to produce an innings of this class, do you see yourself as someone who could bat higher up going forward?
Yes, definitely. You know, I never really say I can bat. I started at the end of 15 level as an opener. So when I joined the Guyanese senior team, I batted 8, 9, and 7 most of the time because Leon Johnson and these other senior guys, you know, were, you know, stable in their position. So I never really, like, count myself out. I know I can bat. I always back my ability and look to bat more balls in the nets than usual. So mm-hmm. It's been paying off for me. So, yeah, I never really, you know, say I can't bat in the top 5 or the top 6. So, yeah, I definitely capable and I know I have the ability and I will look to develop my game, you know, to suit in those positions, I just, yeah, whenever the chance come, I will be ready. So I'm looking forward to the challenge.
I see. Just before we come to you, Basil, Roland, hold up. You know about making centuries. You made so many centuries at the regional level. No doubt you would want to congratulate young Kevin. Roland?
Oh, yes. Good night, listeners. Good night, Kevin. Good night, the panel, up and on, Doc. Most definitely, Kevin has shown the ability to score runs. You saw him perform various times, even in Australia, I believe it was. He played some crucial innings for the team, batting down the order. So it was only a matter of time before he was able to transfer some of that batting ability into the regional competition and to produce a big score. As you heard him say earlier, he was an opener at a younger level. So that ability was always there. Even though he's lower down the order now, he has recognized that he can score centuries, and he's stepped up and done it. So congrats to him. And I'm sure it's the first of many for Guyana. And of course, hopefully he will get to score some for the West Indies as well.
Mm-hmm. Basil?
I'm glad to hear young Sinclair talk about the learnings that he came back with from Australia, because that was something that was key for me to see all the players that went to Australia, how that experience would translate them coming into the first class season. And I noted that himself and Hodge were two of the thus far of the batters that have translated those learnings into some significant scores, because I'm glad that I'm hearing everything that Kevin has said so far. I am very happy to hear, because that is what I want to hear. A young player understanding and know that he's a test player,
mm-hmm.
and he comes back to the first class, he has to stamp his authority. He is no longer just a first class player playing for Guyana. No, he's a test player. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see he stamped his authority. And I'm not surprised, because I've always, even everybody was pushing his bowling. The times I've seen him bat, I saw the batting to me had more potential. This is my opinion. The batting was the thing that was, to me, the better part of his cricket in terms of the two skill sets. Mm-hmm. I know more and more people are starting to see that, and others have said the same thing. And yes, and I think he's more than capable of batting in the top six in Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to seeing them promoting, because now with a 165 not out,
yes.
I think a promotion is in order there. What do you think about that?
Kevin, you're looking to be promoted? You're looking to bat higher, Kevin? You're looking to bat higher?
Yes, definitely, man. At the end of the day, it's up to the managers and the coach. You know, I don't just want to say, hey, because I make one, you know, I got a bat three, bat four, bat five. You know, it's up to them. But when that opportunity presented, I just want to, you know, just cement my place.
Indeed.
Not going to get caught. Yeah.
That's excellent. I like your mindset, Kevin. Your full, on all the things you have to develop your game. And I wish you all the best as you move forward.
Yeah, stay with us, Kevin. Of course, we're going to turn our attention to Roland Holder pretty soon, because he's certainly been actually doing some serious work across the Caribbean. But I'm interested, Kevin, in your celebration, because when you get a wicket, we know you flip. When you made 100, what did you do?
Well, basically, look, at the events, and, you know, after that, I waved to my teammates, because, you know, they've always been supporting me and telling me how good of a player I am when I fail, because, you know, they know how passionate I am about my game. So when I feel I'd be, you know, a bit, you know, hard on myself and down on myself. So basically, you know, doing it for my team and doing it in front of some people that know me very well is something really special.
Mm.
And it was the Republic Day. It was a national holiday for us here. So to do it that day, mm-hmm. so it was even more special.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that flip, though. Where did that come from? When you get a wicket, that flip. I know it went in. Bishop sees it. He says, "Oh God, I hope he doesn't injure himself." Tell us about that flip.
Well, basically, it's a signature celebration for my area. And guys have been known as Kodam in Borbis. So we used to go in the backlands and learn how to, you know, stick the landing, I should say.
Okay.
So it's just a remembrance for my area where I'm from. So people who know me, you know, when I do that, they say, oh, yeah, you used to be doing that a lot in the area in Hangai's Avenue. So it's basically for my area where I'm from.
Okay. There's something to it then. Philo, did you flip when you never got wickets? Did you flip at Sparty when you made 100, Philo? What did you do?
No, Andrew, I just used to raise the bat and take the helmet off. But I commend him. I commend him for his flipping. I know a lot of people don't like it because they think about injuries. But as he explained, it's something that he's been doing from where he comes from.
Mm.
And I hope that you can flip and flip and flip and flip. Because if you're flipping, you're going to make it.
Yes.
So you do what you have to do to be successful, to keep Ghana cricket blooming and to keep West Indies cricket moving forward. If you flip 1,000 times, that means you got 1,000 wickets.
Mm, yeah, indeed.
So keep flipping, my friend.
And he becomes a flipper.
Well, not from the sea, but he's a land flipper. Kevin, and not Kenny Benchman either.
Kevin, stay with us.
Andrew, I just want to say, in Guyana, we call it flick. We don't say flip.
Oh,
we call it a flick.
Okay.
It's a flick.
Oh, yes. It's a flick. I see. Okay.
Yeah, it's a flick.
I like that. Wonderful. Kevin, take us back to Shamar Joseph. I mean, I think it's important for you to do that. What a performance from him. You know, I mean, of course, he's guided it yourself. But to win that test match in the manner in which he won it, take us back. How did you feel about that? You must have been on top of the world.
Wow. Well, basically, taking that catch for his fifth wicket, I believe, to yes. take you back that was a special moment to see him kneel and just, you know, look to the heavens, you know, something really, really, you know, like speechless. It's speechless, something that you can't really imagine, knowing that where he come from and, you know, now come on the scene and doing great things to the West Indies is something really special. But for me, I can say he's a wholehearted cricketer. You know, someone who always want to learn and want to improve on his game. And to bowl Western into that, you know, historic victory there, you know what I mean, is something really special. And to be a part of it, you know what I mean, I can't ask for something even better. But Shamar Joseph, you know, really, really, amazing performance, I should say. Mm-hmm. Amazing. But he's a wholehearted cricketer, though.
Yes, and after he got his toe busted up, I mean, we were saying, oh God, but I mean, to have done that, to come back the morning and to have done, you know, get those wickets. And then the last wicket, when he bowled the last batsman, you must have, like him, been on you know, a tremendous feeling, not only for him, but for West Indies cricket. And all of you would have been celebrating his performance, I'm sure.
Yes, definitely. When he get that last wicket,
yes,
I took off behind him, but I couldn't catch him.
You could catch him. I see.
What about that quick? But I couldn't catch him because everybody was just running and celebrating.
Yes.
Yes, like I said, Shamar Joseph, you know, that performance there would always, you know, be in the back of every single West Indies fan mind when they look at him, when they think of him. And for him to come and put up that show, you know, is something really special. Hard-working cricketer, it paid off in the end. It's something special for us. The people of the region, you know, applaud him. Good to see that Guyana applaud him, you know, give him his praises. But for me, I just wanted to, you know, continue and keep, you know, putting in those performances. And it only could be better for him and the people of the Caribbean.
Indeed.
Andrew.
Yes.
Andrew. Yes, Kevin is being modest.
Mm.
Because Mr. Sinclair's 50.
Yes.
Had he not made that 50,
yes,
we would not have won that test match.
I agree.
So, yeah. I mean, all praises to Joseph on the outstanding spell.
Yes.
But that 50 by Sinclair,
yes,
we'd have lost the test match.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Sinclair has been a little modest.
Yes.
Your contribution was very significant to that victory. Just because if you did not make that 50, the Australians would have had a very low total to chase, and we won the game by what? 8 runs?
But eight or nine runs, yeah.
So don't be so modest there, Kevin.
And Kevin, tell us about facing up to these big bowlers, Hazelwood and, you know, these guys. I mean, talk us through that. Facing up to these great bowlers.
For me, a little bit of nerve, but first when I go to the crease, was a little bit of nerves. But what was at the back of my mind, I was facing Nathan Lyon, you know, someone that I always, you know, I always admire as a young cricketer and young off spinner. So my grandfather always told me, stay in front and control. That was the thing he used to tell us.
Stay
when
in front and control. I like that. That's good advice. Yeah, stay in front and control.
When I step forward for my first couple of delivery and I get a feel of the wicket, I say, I feel much better.
Mm.
So for me, it's all about, you know, staying out there a bit longer. Yes, they're going to be coming at you. They're more consistent. They're more patient. They're going to be bowling different balls. So it's all about, you know, getting your eyes in, you know, not getting away from yourself, playing too loose, playing away from your body. So it's all about, you know, playing in that box. And let they come at you. And yes, I bat about 90 deliveries and got 50. So I feel really good about that. So it's all about just staying out there a little bit longer and just playing inside the box and not playing away from your body. That's it, basically.
I see. Anything about his off-spin bowling that you want to talk about, Doc? I mean, he's also pretty decent.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's talked about Nathan Lyon, lots of overspin, lots of bunks, and we watch Ashwin a lot faster, able to bowl the new ball. There's so much of the art of spin to be learned. Do you think that in the Caribbean, as a youngster, that you get enough opportunity and exposure and advice regarding developing the art of your off-spin bowling? And if not, do you have any ideas as to how you could improve your bowling?
Well, like I said, you know, the trip to Australia was a real, you know, vital one, because I get to spoke to Nathan Lyon. But having said that, the guys in the Caribbean, you know, they do help. Royston Chase, you know, I talked to him. Rakim Cornwall, I talked to him. Pierre Sammy Pommel, my countryman, he always been talking to me as well. You know, in terms of areas that I can improve of a spinner. Akil Hussain, you know, talked to me as well. You know, so it's not like more people like keeping the information to themselves. Like, I like, you know, go and ask questions. So, like I said, I talk to these guys, they give me the information. But at the end of the day, it's not going to pay off one time in the end. You know, going to take a lot of practice. I always practice on my own game. So, bits and pieces where I can get from, information that I can get from, I take it and add it to my game. So, like I said, the guy same does be talking to me as well. All the spinners in the Caribbean, we have some sort of level of communication. So, Akil Hussain, Royston Chase, Rakim Cornwall, Sammy Pommel, you know, hats off to them for, you know, for sharing their information as spinners. You know, that's good to see. I can speak for myself. Hopefully, yeah, young folks can speak for themselves as well.
How does a spinner in the Caribbean really train? Do you just bowl at a stump? Do you let someone bat, you bowl to them? Do you bowl a certain number of balls per day? What sort of method are you using to develop your bowling?
Well, more people say spot bowling, do a lot of spot bowling, you know what I mean? Looking to hit that good length, that good area, land your ball in that good area. But for me, putting more revs on the ball, I pay attention to over the years. You know what I mean? My coach, Easton Cranon, he was working with me as well when he was the coach of the Harpy Eagles and the Jaguars as well. So, you know, putting more reps. So I try to focus on that. You know, I get to spoke to Mehdi Hassan as well when he came down here in the West Indies, you know. So that was my thing. You know, hitting a good area and putting more reps on the ball, basically.
I see. Well, Kevin, I want to thank you. I don't know if there are any other questions before Kevin goes. But it's really been an absolute pleasure having him on the show. Any final thing before Kevin goes? I know he wants to go to Barakara.
I just want to ask Kevin. He talk about good areas when he's bowling. What are those good areas that you look to bowl into when you're bowling the batter? Because obviously when it's reversed, when you're a batter, the bowlers are looking to bowl into good areas. What do you consider a good area for our spinner to be a bowler and a line, how do you look to get batters out?
Well, for me, when I'm bowling good, you know, bringing the batsman forward is key, you know what I mean? Testing the batsman edges both inside and outside. So for me, once I'm doing that on a consistent basis, I'm bowling good. So for me, just bringing the batsman forward and testing those two edges, Mr. Wallace.
Hey, Mr. Wallace, I like that one. and someone just sent a WhatsApp message here. In terms of regional cricket, Kevin, who do you like bowling against? What is it? In terms of a contest, is there any one particular batsman in the Caribbean that you really enjoy having a tremendous contest against? Anybody or any batsman?
It can be very much difficult to answer that one, but to be honest, bowling to all the batters in the Caribbean is be a test and a challenge. No one gives away the wicket that easily, so you still got to, you know, bring them forward, like I just mentioned, and keep testing them. You know, I mean, no one gives the wicket away that easily in regional cricket.
And your favorite pitch to bowl on the Caribbean? Your favorite pitch? Which one you like the best?
I would say Guyana.
Hey!
Guyana getting six against Lee Wires in the previous series to win the championship for us, that was something special.
I
got some success in Antigua as well.
Yes.
At the Coolidge Cricket Ground. So I would say those two are the venues that are up for my success, basically.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. Always.
I have one question.
Yeah, sure.
Andrew, I have one question for Kevin. In your development, did you ever seek out the late Clyde Butts and Roger Harper as they were two resident off spinners and our countrymen?
Definitely in my early upcoming, you know, cross path with Roger Harper and Clyde Butts. I tell him, check Mr. Clyde, the late Clyde Butts, you know, check my fingers. He was like, no, you're not spinner.
Yes. That's like Butsy. That's like Butsy for you, right? The ball,
so I must mention that, yeah, cross path with them, and like I said, you know, they're two individuals that not afraid to share their knowledge about the game. When I cross path with Mr. Harper, he told me you got to force the right hand button to hit you to cover.
Okay. And once
you could, you know, do that on a regular basis, to bring in a cart and bowler. Guy getting caught at shot with wicket. So yeah, they're gentlemen that, you know, love to share, you know, things about the game. And it's so sad to see the passing of Mr. Clyde Butts there, man. Really, yes. Really, really sad.
Very, very sad moment. What part of Guyana are you from again? Which part of Guyana are you from?
I'm from Barbies, New Amsterdam.
New Amsterdam. How far is New Amsterdam from Barakara?
Let me say, like,
2 hours, like, on the boat. 2 hours on the boat.
Two hours on the boat. Okay. Okay. About 2 hours on the boat. Yes.
Let me say around there. But it's a nice trip, to be honest. It's a nice trip. You know, I mean, lovely people in the area. You get your fruits.
Yes.
You know. Not for just stuff, organic stuff, all right?
I like that. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, Kevin Sinclair. We thought it important on Mason and Guest to highlight your tremendous performance. We know that you're a good cricketer, and we wish you all the success going forward. Enjoy the rest of your evening, sir.
All right, thank you, gentlemen, for having me. It was a pleasure, man.
All right. Appreciate it. Wonderful. All right, there you have it, Kevin Sinclair, the Guyanese, who actually, as Basil said, made that very important 50 in the test match that we won with Joseph Boland so well. And then, only last week, making a brilliant 165, not at his maiden 100 at the regional level. And we really thought it was important to highlight him. When we come back, Roland Holder is with us. He's been making his rounds to the grounds across the Caribbean. Mason and Guest brought to the association with the very good friends at ASFV White Rum, the best shot of the day.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right. Well, Dave Smooth, certainly bunks around here in the studio. He agrees that ASFV White Rum, the best of the day. Roland Holder, how are you, my friend? What part of the world are you?
Hey, Andrew. I'm just finishing up in St. Vincent. I'm heading into Antigua tomorrow.
Right. Okay. So the last time we spoke, you were in Guyana, and you gave it a passing grade. After Guyana, where did you go, Roland?
We did Guyana, Trinidad, St. Lucia, Barbados, St. Vincent, and then Antigua, back to Antigua to do the inspection. Then.
Everybody passed?
It's not a passing and failing grade, Andrew. I remember telling you that last week, so it's not a pass or fail.
So what is it then?
Andrew, it's a continuous assessment of where you are, what progress you are making, if we need to adjust the work that is being done, etc. So it's not a pass or a fail.
So everything is okay. Any concerns, Roland?
Not at this time, Andrew. The work is going quite well in all the venues we've been at. In practically all the venues, I think they have gotten to the stage or past the stage of planting the grass, which is probably what will take the longest. Grass will take. You can't make grass grow any quicker than it will.
So that needs to be done at a certain time to ensure that it's there and that the routes establish themselves, etc. So I think all the venues are at that stage. So I think we are quite pleased with where they are.
Well, you know, the last time you spoke to me, you said that you needed some more manpower in Guyana. Can you say it for the other countries as well?
That if they need more manpower, well, it's either we were talking about mechanization, etc. So at this stage where all the other venues are, the grass is being planted. There isn't much you can do after you've planted the grass, but to wait for the grass to grow.
And you know there's no rain.
To the soil and all that.
You know there's very little rain.
Is that the only way grass will grow, or you can do watering?
Well, it certainly would help.
There you go. So they all have their sprinklers, they all have their irrigation. So,
Right. Gentlemen, any questions?
So basically, it's to ensure we're there.
Okay. Tell me about the venues in Barbados. I mean, I pass by Weymouth every morning on my way to work. A lot of mold there. I see it's looking pretty good there. Were you happy with Weymouth in Barbados? Any concerns there?
They've planted the grass at Weymouth as well, as I have said. So, and they're watering as well. So that grass will take the time, like all the other venues, to establish themselves. They already have the levels done at Weymouth, as in all the venues. So once you're at the grass planting stage, you have gone through the whole process practically already. And all you can do is wait.
All right. My good friend, Philo Wallace, anybody with any questions for our good friend Roland Holder? In fact, Damon Lemon has actually joined us as well. He is the head of PR World Cup. We want to focus significantly on World Cup. He's joined us as well. So we're going to certainly get him involved in this discussion. But anything, gentlemen, for Roland Holder?
Roland, we know that practicing is going to be important in the World Cup, and they'll be practicing at satellite grounds as well as at the grounds that will be used for the matches. Are you also looking at the practice facilities on the, let's say, at Kensington and all the other grounds that you're visiting?
So, Doc, I think teams spend more time practicing than they spend playing, more often than not. So basically the practice venues are key to any event that, whether it's CWI, whether it's the ICC, whatever cricketing event is on, the practice venues need to be up to speed. In fact, they are worked harder than the actual match venues, because you have more than one team at the practice venues. Guys always want to hit balls. So, yes, in short, the answer to your question, we are also looking at the practice venues, not just the match venues. And I think Andrew mentioned Weymouth a short while ago. There aren't matches at Weymouth, but they are likely to be practice sessions at Weymouth, hence the ongoing work.
I was quite interested to have a look at Mr. all the things that he provides. And I had never heard of synthetic grass and clay pitches. I know I've heard of drop-in pitches and other pitches. You think in the West Indies there's any scope for synthetic grass and clay pitches for practice?
I think I have been to Notts in the UK, and they actually...
Roland, where are you? Oh, we've lost Roland there a bit. What's going on there?
A deeper root system where it ties the roots into the soil a lot deeper, and it protects the grass a lot more, so the grass actually stays alive a lot longer, and the ball does actually turn on those surfaces as well, from the information I've gotten. So at some stage, if you are at a venue, granted at present those synthetic surfaces can be quite expensive, but ultimately you may want to consider looking to see if venues want to invest in those types of pitches, whether it's a club, whether it's a international venue, etc. The difference, however, is that in the UK, some of those squares have as many as 10, 12, 14 pitches. In the Caribbean, we don't have any venues that have those many pitches. So it's how you want to invest, how you want to go about doing it. But there is that possibility that it will eventually come to the Caribbean.
All right. Philo?
Roland, obviously, the practice grounds, the Windwards and the VMFs and those grounds, when the World Cup actually starts, will there be adequate covering for those pitches? Because as you said, the guys do a lot of practicing, and some guys might want to come down like maybe 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock, and have a hit. But what is happening now? All those other peripheral things will be put in place to make sure there's a smoothness in everything that happens to the World Cup. Because this is going to be big and we don't want a lot of mistakes. All those areas and adequate covering will be provided either by the local authority or ICC to make sure that these things don't happen just in case there's some weather around.
Part of a cricket venue, certainly at this level, Philo, requires you to have certain stuff, whether it's covers, whether it's netting, etc. So that is a part of the work in place. Most of the grounds in Barbados already have covers and nets. So just to ensure that those are up to scratch, I'm sure that if any venues require topping up with their covers, those are going to be sourced through the local organizing committee, etc. So all that stuff is in place and on stream to ensure that should weather come in, that there are adequate covers. For practice sessions, you need nets, whether you choose cages or the netting system that was used back in 2007. So all that stuff will be in place.
I see. All right, we've now been joined by Damon Leon, who is the head of PR and Communications, ICC World Cup. Hello, sir. How are you? What part of the world are you?
I'm actually in Trinidad at the moment, so I'm just happy to be part of the program with the team here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How are things looking? Are you happy? We're less than 100 days away. Mr. Leon, are you happy?
Well, the truth be told is if anyone is planning an event of this nature and they are totally happy 100 days out, I would be a bit concerned. The truth is we always have to be pressing forward. As Roland can attest to as part of our team, there's always work to be done. In terms of the progress that we're making, are we where we should be? Yes, we are. There's always more work to be done, and we will continue pushing right up to the very start of the tournament.
Okay. Now, a couple of things. The whole question of ticket sales, how are they going?
Well, as it has been publicly noted, during the ballot period, we received well over 3 million applications for tickets. So what we've been very happy to see and encourage, actually, is the games in the U.S. have been heavily subscribed, and as you would expect, the bigger games right here in the Caribbean, across Barbados, Canada, Trinidad, for the semis and finals, etc., are all practically, I'm not sure if there are any currently available, but there are still tickets available on the official website, and we do encourage all Caribbean nationals to get out there and purchase those tickets, because there will come a point in time where these tickets will likely be sold out.
Doc, any questions for any of the gentlemen?
Yeah, Mr. Leon, I think you do have a point. If you're happy with where you are at any time preparing for an event, then definitely you're probably not where you should be. I'd like to know what's the next most important thing that you want to, supervise and make sure goes smoothly in order to make you go to the other things to have a successful event.
From an operational standpoint, I think one of the things that the team is working really hard behind the scenes, and Roland is a part of that, is just ensuring that once teams begin to arrive in the region, the logistics of having to travel from country to country, the teams, the chartered flights, etc., that those all run as smoothly as possible to make the tournament a success. So that's been an ongoing process since last year, and it will continue. And that's one of the key areas that we will be focusing on right across the board. And that involves our interactions with the governments, with the LOCs in each host country. And the good news is that there is buy-in. there is a support, and we are getting the support that is required from the governments to make sure that this comes off as seamlessly as possible.
Well, you mentioned travel, and I know with something like that, you always have estimates of numbers. You can never really categorically determine a number. You don't know how many support staff will be coming. And then some people may travel with families. I mean, how do you really mitigate, you know, not having enough airlift for people that may come at the last minute?
Yeah, that's always going to be a challenge. But we've had experiences from hosting other World Cups in the past. We've done 2007 right up to the Under-19 World Cup in 2019. So we do have an idea of how the travel logistics work, where there may be overflows, etc. And we plan as best as we can for it. And through our travel team, our operations department, that they are in constant contact with the teams, with the managers, to find out what their plans are. Some will be arriving earlier than others. And just to make sure that those, and that probably will have some adjustments even right down to the end. So we just have to stay on top of it and stay in contact with every stakeholder involved.
Just one other question. Just hold your thoughts. Adrian Griffith has joined us as well. It's good to have him, former West Indies cricketer, and of course, spent a long time at the ICC. When do the teams start arriving? We're less than 100 days away. Mr. Leon?
Yeah, we expect the teams to be arriving during the last week of May, which is when the IPL is coming to its conclusion. Some teams will arrive a little earlier than others, but during that last week of May, with the tournament starting in the first week of starting on the 1st of June, that's when we're going to see an influx of all the teams arriving, and they're going to be at the start in Miami and in Trinidad, where they will make their way to their various host venues. So those who have first round group stage games in the US, they will move on from Miami. Those in the Caribbean will move on from Trinidad to where their group stage games are.
Mm-hmm. Basil, any concerns, any questions? How's the USA looking, Basil?
Well, the USA, one of the concerns has been the prices of the tickets.
Oh, dear.
But many of my friends have been coughing at those prices. So that is a concern, you know. But, so that's the only thing I could say thus far. And the other thing I would ask is, has the soil been turned for the beginning of the building of that?
The
Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Well, one of the sites where they're going to be playing in New York, the games played in New York, it's a whole new facility that they're building, right? So I was wondering, has that process started?
Mr. Leon?
Roland, do you want to take that one?
Roland, you want to take that?
In short, the answer is yes. That work has started. In terms of the pitches, they are using drop-in pitches in New York, and those pitches are, well, Adrian is in charge of that project in the US of A, so he can better speak to that. Mm. But certainly the drop-in pitches are being cultivated, if that is the term, in Florida to go up to New York. As you would be aware, it is winter in New York still. So it is very difficult to build a pitch, to create a pitch at the venue. Mm. So those are currently being done in Florida, and Adrian can probably address that.
Well, yes, it's my pleasure to introduce Adrian. Hello, Adrian. Nice to see you. Former West Indies cricketer.
Hi, worked with the ICC for a long time. Hi, Paolo.
Right, good. Okay. Roland actually led you in, so please inform us.
Well, I'm not the spokesperson for T20 Inc., but I can confirm that what Roland says is true. The pitches are being built, the drop-in pitches being grown in Florida, and they'll make the 1,600-mile trip up the road when the time is right to be dropped into the stadium and practice areas in New York.
I see. Adrian, what are you doing exactly? I know you're not with the ICC anymore. What are you doing exactly now? And where are you?
Currently in Florida, but consulting on the cricket side of it. So like Roland said, I mentioned before with Basil, there's an area in New York that a stadium is going to be built on. So part of that project is making sure that happens, but also across the cricket operations for Florida and Dallas as well.
Mm. And you think you got enough time? I mean, I know that Basil expressed some concern about the start. You think you can make it? You're less than 100 days away? I'm sure you will.
Yes.
Mm. The answer?
Yes, we will.
An emphatic yes. Basil, does that make you feel happy? Basil, I can't hear you.
It has to be an emphatic yes. some of the biggest matches in the United States will be featuring in New York,
and yes.
New York is the big city. You know, they have to be on point.
I would think so as well. Yes. No. Let's come back to you, Roland. Where do you go from here? I mean, you've had your inspections. What's your next move, Roland?
So I'm moving around with Andy Atkinson and Kent Crafton, Andy's the ICC consultant, Kent is the regional curator. So I'm just chaperoning them around, really. So from here, we go to the head office in Antigua, where we do our debrief and inform and advise everybody our thoughts, our views, and give them all the good news that we have to share.
Mm, I see. In terms now of legacy, let's come back to you, Mr. Leon. What kind of legacy are you looking at here for World Cup? That, of course, is going to be starting on June the 1st. Big finals on the 29th. Tell us about the legacy.
I think there are a few key things that we as a region want to see come out of this. And then there's the global legacy that we want from it. There must be a necessity that to ensure that coming out of this tournament, that there's a movement at the grassroots level for the continued growth and appreciation of cricket as a whole. And I think if we're able to walk away with that, where we can see the next generation of maybe a Chris Gayle, a Karen Pollard coming through the ranks, and where we can take the West Indies back to the heights that we've all been so accustomed to over the generations, I think that's one of the key areas that we would want to look at as a lasting legacy of the tournament. Globally, and it's part of our overall mandate, which is to grow the sport of cricket globally. Hence the reason that we are co-hosting this with the United States of America, because this is, if not one of the largest sports markets in the world. And though cricket is not the most popular sport there, since the introduction of Major League Cricket, we are seeing increased interest in the game. And that's the next step in terms of growing the interest of the sport globally and starting in the U.S. market, because it's a significant diaspora out there, as we all would know. There's an Asian and an Indian market as well there. And if we're able to break ground and take the sport even further, that just bodes well for the growth of the sport as a whole and the growth of just how we take this to just another level, where it becomes another one of those global games that becomes very much a part of our heritage and our life.
Someone just sent a WhatsApp. Android just turned on. Was there any news about tickets at Kensington Box office? Can you take that one, Mr. Leon?
Right now, the plans are that tickets are on sale online, and this is being done, one, for a number of reasons. There's the security aspect of it. Of course, you know, and it's just the way that we are going globally in terms of how we're managing the sale of tickets at international sporting events. I know that in the Caribbean, we've been very accustomed over the years to being physically able to walk up to a box office and purchasing a ticket. But we have to change with the times. I just want to assure everyone who is thinking about purchasing a ticket that, one, they can be assured that the platforms that we are using are among the most secure in the world for online ticket sales. So I think people should just feel reassured that whatever they're doing online, their information is safe, their purchases are safe, and once their purchases are made, there's no further access to anyone's bank account. Regarding box offices, depending on how things go, those may come on board, but that'll be much closer to the tournament. And of course, there's a risk that at that time, it'll only become what's available in terms of ticket availability.
Mm.
So our first option would be to encourage everyone to look online to get their tickets while there are still tickets for some of the more popular games.
Mm, I see. Doc, any questions?
Well, I think we've talked about this earlier, and it's clear that the mechanism for ticket purchase will be different to what we've had before. And I hope that the fans and you know the West Indian diaspora comes to grip with the fact that it may or may not be possible for them to physically walk into a booth and buy a ticket. And if you need to buy one, you have to do it early. What I would say is that I have come across a lot of individuals who have sent me their screenshots of, you know, not being lucky at the lottery. And I just wanted to debunk what was said previously on another show that individuals were 99.9% sure of getting a ticket. I don't think there's any lottery that really works that way mathematically, or it wouldn't be called a lottery, it would be called a surety. But the what I would like to ask is, what is the projection for representation within a venue, a West Indian venue, for West Indian fans to constitute? What fraction of fans do you expect to be West Indians within any venue? An estimate, if that's something that's been worked out.
Mm.
That's something that we're constantly reviewing. And when I say that, and I'm not just speaking above, we go through this every day. What we can assure the public is that there will be sufficient tickets for Caribbean nationals wanting to attend games. As I did say earlier, we received over 3 million applications for tickets. And of course, stadiums have so much capacity. So some of the more popular games, as you would expect, tickets for those games are currently unavailable. What we would advise fans, though, is that as in many World Cups of this nature, there tends to be close to the tournament, there may be sponsors or other stakeholders who return tickets to the pool for one reason or another. Either they may not be using it anymore or they've had a change of plans. So even if you're unsuccessful, in getting the ticket for the game that you wanted during the ballot, or even if it's unavailable now,
mm-hmm.
please do stay in touch through ICC's channels, Cricket West Indies channels, etc., because there is the likelihood that these other tickets may become available closer to the tournament.
Mm, maybe. Okay, Barry Wilkinson has joined us. Barry, I know you're there in Trinidad and Tobago along with Mr. Leone. He's very much Trinidadian. That accent is unmistakable. Hello, Barry.
Hello to you, Andrew. Hello to your many guests. Andrew, I just wanted to ask Mr. Leone a quick question, because people ask you this question every day and I don't have the answer. And I've also got a lot of emails. I unfortunately am one of the persons that was rejected for tickets.
Mm.
I heard Chris Gayle, I heard Mr. Leone, they continue to say, encouraging Caribbean people and locals to get out there and buy tickets. But it's a misleading message, because thousands of people have received this message that I have received, which says, we are sorry, but your ticket application for the ICC Men's World Cup was not successful. Due to phenomenal demand, many of the games in the ballot were oversubscribed, but no need to fear it. There's still a chance for you to join us in an unmissable event. Andrew, I think it's a misleading statement to tell or encourage Caribbean people to get out there and support us and buy tickets. Red, this is the message that's being sent out based on the fact that the tickets have been oversubscribed, because you're giving the impression that it's available when really and truly it's oversubscribed already. So I think that, you know, persons like Chris Gayle and people who are marketing the event and Mr. Leone need to stop telling people get out there and support us, buy tickets, because where are you going to buy the tickets from? You're essentially just asking people to hold on and wait just to get the crumbs of what is left. And I think that the marketing of it is not a very fair achievement in their marketing venture, Andrew. So I think they should stop saying that.
Is it misleading, yeah. Mr. Leon? Yes.
Yeah. No, Barry, I take the opportunity to respond. Yes, you are correct in the sense that there would have been people who participated in the ballot who did not receive or who were not successful with the games that they wanted. So, for example, as you may or may not know, and I'm just drawing one example here, the game for India versus Pakistan in New York, that was oversubscribed by over 200 times the capacity of the stadium. So there are people, and of course, for a lot of people who took part in the ballot, some were successful and some were not. That doesn't take away from the fact that there are tickets that are available online right now for games that are happening. So it may not be for the games that everyone desires, but tickets are available, and it was always said from up front that the tickets that would be available for sale come when we launch ticket sales on the 22nd would have been those that would not have been sold during the ballot period. So I do appreciate the point. We certainly will look at the messaging, but I can assure you that there are tickets for sale, maybe not for the games that you particularly want.
Well, the tickets I put in a bid for were all at Kensington. And I still got that message because, I mean, it's really not for me. My son really wants to go. My wife and the kids, they want to go. So I put in a bid for them. And that was just for Kensington. And I got that message. So I'm not quite sure that is correct. I mean, one of the games is, I think, is Oman versus somebody at Kensington. I can't remember. I speak the correction, but it's not a big game. And I got that message. So I'm not so sure that is true because I'm not traveling obviously, the India-Pakistan game will be oversubscribed, but I'm not traveling to Guyana and those other places. I just did Kensington. And if I'm getting that message, thousands of other people have gotten that message and they've called to Brass Tacks and other places with concern. Then something doesn't seem to be correct. If you are saying that tickets are indeed available, can you tell me where they're available so we can purchase them?
We're not hearing you. You're muted.
I think he's on mute.
Maybe...
You're mute, Damien. Damon, you're on mute.
You're mute, Damien. We want to hear you.
Yeah, sorry. My apologies. Barry, I'm on the website right now, and I'm looking at England versus Scotland in Kensington. That's available.
Okay,
I'm on the website right now.
What was the need for Kensington? What was the need for the bid then? If tickets are available in that manner, what was the need for the bid? Because I don't think people know that they can actually purchase tickets in that manner. People were disappointed that they bid and didn't and got this response. So can you just give us the site that we can go on to purchase tickets now?
Sure. So and that's everything that we're doing. So the website that the public needs to go on to right now is tickets.t20worldcup.com.
Take a note of that, Andrew, because people are asking you as well. Especially your sponsors, Andrew. You have to give tickets.
Yes. Say that again, sir. Say it again.
Tickets.t20worldcup.com.
Tickets.t20worldcup.com.
Worldcup.com.
Okay.
Great.
I'm seeing England versus Scotland at Kensington. I'm seeing Australia versus Oman in Scotland. So they may not be, as I said earlier, they may not be the high-end games, which we knew would have been quick to go when tickets went on sale, but I'm seeing tickets online right now for Florida, for Kensington, for New York. So I think once people go onto the site and just take a few minutes to go through, they'll be able to see what games are available. And as I said, we do encourage fans to note that there is the possibility that tickets may be returned to the pool later if some stakeholders do not use theirs. Look forward. But again, I just want to affirm what Barry said, that yes, people would have been received notifications during the ballot if they were not successful. And that's just how the ballot works.
Okay.
Well, Damon, thanks for that. And I hope that people can
take. No problem.
I want to thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, no problem at all, no problem.
Okay, 4417 90, you can give us a call and participate. There's no doubt about that. And we're going to do a commercial break now when we come back. Of course, we want to find out what's been happening to our good friend Adrian Griffith. And in terms of the pricing of the tickets, people are saying, boy, where am I going to get the money from to purchase a ticket? Mason and Guest, brought in association with our good friends at ASFE Wet Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 4417 90. Let's go to the telephones. Hello, welcome,
Mr. Andrew. Good night.
Good night.
How are you, Mr. Mason?
I'm fine.
I have a question for you, Mr. Mason. That man from Guyana, William Joseph.
Which man?
Quicksilver.
That was in the show earlier?
No, the guy...
Shamar Joseph, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, I want to know, as he in the team, what will happen to... Jason Hula.
What do you mean?
He will not be playing no more?
Well, he's available.
Now, the other question I want to ask you is, what about Kyle Mays and Shebu?
If they do well, they'll be selected. If they do well, they'll be selected.
So Mr. Shamar Joseph is not...
Well,
nobody.
Well, I mean, he's going to play a lot of white ball cricket now. He's doing the IPL. In fact, he's very much in demand. And if he does well, I'm sure he'll be in the race to play for the West Indies in the World Cup. Don't be surprised if he's selected.
So, Mr. Mason, before I say anything, how are you?
I'm fine.
And whatever is to be will be. You have a good night.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Can we sneak another call in? Yes, we can. Hello, welcome. Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome. You're listening to your radio.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good night, Andrew, to you and your guest.
Yeah, good night to you, sir.
Yeah, you were talking about the possible World Cup team.
Yes.
They're going to be 15, right?
Yeah, I think 15. Roland, 15
right,
for the World Cup?
Any squad will be 15, Roland? You could go with.
Any 11. What do you mean by that?
The squads are 15. Right, but any 11 that you select would represent West Indies.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, keep the good work up.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Can we sneak another one in? 4341790. Give us a call and participate in the show. Now, in terms of the World Cup trophy, there's going to be a tour of the region as well. We certainly had last Thursday, 100 days before the World Cup. There were events across the Caribbean. There was one in Barbados and throughout the Caribbean. So when would the World Cup trophy tour begin? Mr. Leon?
Well, we actually are going to start the trophy tour during the month of March. And it's going to go around the world at all the various international destinations. And it's going to be certainly down here in the Caribbean during the month of April as well as in May. We're locking down the final dates at the moment, but the trophy will be in each of the six Caribbean host nations. And once those dates are finalized and we know what the activations are, there will be an announcement to let people know where they can go to see the trophy, to have their photograph taken with the trophy, and there'll be engagement, etc. So that's actually something that we're looking forward to. And all of the host nations in the Caribbean right now are just putting their plans in place for that. And it's going to involve, having a chance for school children, young cricketing groups to come out to see the trophy in person and just to be part of the entire World Cup experience. So We certainly are looking forward to that. And when those plans are announced, we will share it with everyone. And we, of course, we'll share it with your listeners as well.
Mm. Well, just before you go, what would be the likely cost of a ticket? I mean, suppose I wanted, if I'm lucky enough to get to the finals, what would it cost me? Get a ticket for the finals.
I know that there's as in any tournament of this nature, there are going to be those persons who find tickets are inaccessible. But what I can say is this: I'm on our website right now. I'm looking at a ticket for a short haul concert, which starts at 78 US and goes up to 380 US for a concert. FIFA World Cup tickets in 2022 started for an obstructed view of a game at 350 US, for the final being over 5,000 US for a ticket to the final. So I think people need to understand that this is a World Cup. There's a lot of investment that's involved in going into it. And when you think that we have tickets that start as low as $6 to $25 and up, And even some of the higher price games are just $135. I think if you look at that on a World Cup level, I think you will see that it is accessible considering the nature of the event.
Mm.
And all of the tickets are placed on the website that I shared with you, and you can choose from your own category.
Mm, I see. Any questions for the fellow? Any concerns? You're coming for the finals, fellow?
I know what I wanted to say. I wish Mr. Leon and Roland and Adrian all the very best in pulling off this World Cup. It's the biggest T20 ICC World Cup ever. It's split between two countries, well, the West Indies and America. We heard the CEO of Cricket West Indies and the CEO of the World Cup, Mr. Johnny Gill, said there's no special visas granted for non-nationals of America. I do hope that everybody get an opportunity to watch the cricket. I watched it, Andrew. I went on the site to buy tickets. I got a block of six. I think there's over $1,000 or something like that. But if you want to watch cricket, you watch cricket. People will complain. This is modernization. Mm-hmm. People keep telling me I live in the old-fashioned days. This is modernization. But Andrew, that's what ICC is doing, and that's how they run their business. And we just have to fall in line. I know we're going to complain to the Caribbean about everything. But people are suffering. But we need, if you want to support cricket, go support cricket. If not, sit on your home and watch it on television. It's as simple as that. We like the grounds that they're using to be ready. I would like the grounds and Barbados that they're using to be up to standard and maintain. And let's get some proper cricket going forward. That's all I would like. I honor some talent.
Mm.
Yeah, I am looking at the site and I can see just four matches available for Barbados. And there are matches against lesser known teams or an established team against a lesser known team. So I think the marquee matches at this point are unavailable. And that's the reality. They're only four of them. And you can tell from the ticket prices that there are matches that that the organizers deem to be less, you know, attractive to the fans, because I mean, the ticket prices range from $17 and up. So I guess we'd have to wait for the refreshage then.
Mm. Mr. Leon, do you want to respond to that?
There isn't really a response. The tickets that are available are on the site. And I think we made it clear a little earlier that, of course, we did encourage fans that when the ballot started, we knew that there was going to be a surge, especially from the larger nations overseas. And as you said, one of the things is that we have acknowledged that Caribbean nationals did not really latch onto that online ballot period. And what we're seeing now is some people who were not fortunate in being successful. For every one of those that are in this talking group, I can count another 10 people that I know who weren't successful as well. But I think what we just need to focus on is that there are tickets that are available now, and we remind the Caribbean people as well. Generally, we do find that some tickets do come back on sale. So I'm hoping that the listening public does not just say, you know, well, that's the end of that, and we'll move on. stay tuned. As I said, there is a likelihood, and we really do. As Philo just said, the important thing is that the cricket fans will come out and support, and we do know that. But we want, one, the Caribbean representation. We all want it to be there because we know that this is our event, and we want to show off the world, to show the world in our best light. And stay tuned. As I said, once they do come back or once they are become available, we will let the public know, and people can reach out to Cricket West Indies if they have any questions, or even reach back out to you and they can send us a question or so. Mm. We're always happy to hear to help.
Just before-
I'm a retired mathematician, but I just like to ask Barry, who knows lots more people than I do. Barry, how many people do you know of who have been successful in the ballot? Because your net is quite wide. I can't
give an exact figure, but there have been people who have been successful, for sure. I mean,
so there's hope.
A number of my friends did bid for their families and so on, and they did receive confirmations that they have been successful. Likewise, a number have been not successful itself. So it's been 50-50.
That's the lottery. Great.
Mm, okay. I see. Just before you go, Mr. Leon, I would like to know if Pakistan players have their U.S. visas already and who will be responsible for issuing them. That's a WhatsApp coming in. That's number one. And number two, Mr. Mason, can you ask Mr. Leon, Australia versus England at Kensington, June 9th, can you say if all the tickets are gone? Mr. Leon, that's for you.
All right. Well, yeah, sure. On the first question regarding the visas, I'll be honest, I'm not sure what the status is with that. We would need to check with our logistics team, who is responsible for managing all of those aspects. If Roland happens to have a little more information on it.
Yeah, Roland?
Roland, you can just jump in.
Roland, yeah, you're part of logistics.
You can jump in if you happen to know.
Roland?
Sorry, I lost Wi-Fi for a bit, so I didn't hear what the question was.
Well, someone wrote, I would like to know.
I can tell the listener that ticket isn't available on the site. Much I do know.
Okay.
So that ticket for that match isn't available on the site. Mm. Aren't available, sorry, for on the site.
Mm. Yeah. The other one, Roland, coming in. I would like to know if the Pakistan players have their U.S. visas already and who will be responsible for issuing them. That's for you, Roland.
So, Andrew, as is the case with each tournament, the host, in this case, T20 USA, etc., and ICC Cricket World Cup West Indies, we work with the various governments in helping acquire visas. Each country is responsible for making the applications, etc. The U.S. is no different. We would have assisted India, for example, in getting visas for the games we held in the U.S., etc. So it's a similar process. Of course, individuals all have to be able to meet the criteria to get a visa. So if there are security checks, etc., you would need to be able to pass those. But the understanding is that we all work together with the government of the USA, with the governments in the region, in ensuring that those visas are acquired. So persons would be looking to make those applications pretty soon to ensure that process is smooth.
So you don't foresee any problems then?
Andrew, I don't foresee any problems. There's a process to go through. We will provide all the information we need to provide, and that is it. That is why you are usually required to submit the information that you need for visas pretty early, so that the process can go through. It is unlikely that you can submit a visa application tomorrow and expect to get it on Thursday. So that's why there's a process. Most things have a process, and this is no different.
All right. Well, the people listen to this show all over the world, and someone is listening in New York. They say thousands of people here in New York were unsuccessful in the ballot. Andrew, many have airline tickets and accommodation, but no tickets for Kensington. Who's going to take that? Barry?
I think that's a fact, so no one can take a fact.
Well, Andrew, is that, I believe that between the tenants and finish the money, he explained the process. And if you go on the website, you should be able to get, you should be able to see if you can get the tickets
there. That was a classic, wasn't it? Basil, have you picked up your tickets as yet?
As I said, those prices are out of my budget.
give me an idea as to the prices that you're being quoted.
I have seen from the website over $300 a game. And that was in Florida. And there are no marquee games playing in Florida. So I didn't even check India, Pakistan. I know that was a goner. You know, from the time that game, that thing opened up, I knew that would be a goner, because for the obvious reasons and the number of Indians and Pakistanis just here in the United States, much less the ones who are in Pakistan and India who may want to come over, you know. But it's been in the $300 range for tickets. I saw in Florida.
That's a different market to the West Indies, and you know, if you try to buy a ticket for a baseball game or a baseball game, you're paying $500, $1,000 and more. Yeah. You know, so that market is not bad.
Yeah, for what Damon said is correct. I mean, we have to remember this is a World Cup. It's not a bilateral series or anything, and World Cup. It's got always the prices are always going to be up there. So I don't think those prices are out of bounds for a World Cup, but because we are more accustomed to buying tickets for cricket in the region or so on, a bilateral series, the prices are never really that much that people, you know, oh my God, it's $300 and something. But yes, it's a World Cup.
It is indeed. Well, Mr. Leon, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. It's been a pleasure. And I hope you come back again soon. Mason and Guest is open. World Cup. Thank you for coming.
No, thank you very much for having me, guys. And please feel free to reach out. As I said, if there's anything that's unclear, we're happy to share information with the entire team. So once again, and have a good night, everyone.
All right. Thanks very much for coming. Roland, we want to thank you as well for coming through and talking to us. Continue to make those rungs to the grungs across the Caribbean, and we hope that everybody gets a passing grade. Roland?
Have a good night, Andrew. I wouldn't bother to tell you that it's not a pass or feel again. But no point telling you that.
I know.
Have a good night.
I'm just kidding all the time. All right, we're going to do a commercial break now. When we come back, Adrian Griffith spent a long time at the ICC, and now he's managing director of AGC is the premier sports business consulting firm dedicated to propelling your sports enterprise to new heights. Big, big words when we come back. You want to hear from him, you can call us at 441790. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the very good friends at ASF Work Rum, the best show of the day.
ASF White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, somebody just said here, Basil, no, don't worry, you make so much money there in the States that you can afford a ticket for $3 million. So Basil is just not telling the truth. My response, truth is not always popular, but truth is always right. Basil, you don't have to respond to that. The WhatsApp messages are coming in. There's a gentleman, Adrian Griffith, who is in the studio. He is the, what is your position here? Say you're wearing green. That's the color of the JLP in Jamaica. And they won the elections apparently today. There's a fellow called Ken Husbands. Have you ever met a gentleman called Ken Husbands, Mr. Griffith? Adrian? We want to hear you.
Sorry.
All right. I know Mr. Husband very well.
Okay. Ken, say hello. He said he took you to school. Ken, say hello to Adrian.
He probably did a lot. Yes, he did.
Good evening, Adrian.
He was really started by growing up years. How are you doing, Mr.
Man, Husband? I'm really, really, really happy to see you. I haven't seen you for about 20 years. A number that I will not like to see Andrew for. fellow, how are you two, man?
Good evening, Ken. I'm fine, man. And you?
Man, I want a ticket here. You think Andrew would help me to get a ticket?
No.
Well, he says I don't have Mr. Leon, and tickets look like gold dust. I don't have a lot of Sahara around.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. Thank you very much, Griff. And Phil.
Nice to hear you, man. Nice to hear you.
Good, man.
To tell us about this company. I'm very keen to know about this company. Adrian, tell us about it. When was it formed?
Yeah, so basically the idea behind it, I mean, I do sports business consulting. I was with the ICC for 11 years, left in April last year to form a company to help. It was more of a giving back. The purpose is to help smaller nations and entities who probably believe that they don't have the resources to move forward, but show them how they can use that and build programs around what they can do just to improve. So along the way, I've always said that people have helped me along the way. I would never have been where I am without somebody taking a chance on me or believing in me. So it's about giving back now and showing people what they can do with the resources that they have and move forward. So having left, I was fortunate enough to be working on the project in New York, where we're building a stadium there. We're putting it up and then pulling it back down. And along the way, obviously, I've met some persons now. We build stadiums now. We do lights. We do indoor facilities. We do drop-in pitches. Synthetic pitches. There's so much things now that the company offers, and the things that we do that just to help people move forward and entities move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, I just want to say to Adrian, Andrew. I don't know if he will remember this conversation, but Adrian, do you remember 8 years ago, 2016, at the World Cup of India, you and I met at the airport, and I said to you, I said, Adrian, you know, you should really step out and open your own company doing sports marketing. You remember that, Adrian?
I think I do. I do vaguely remember it, Barry. But yes, I wouldn't say it's something I thought about for a long time. But finally took the job.
Good. Well, I just saw that vision in you because I used to watch you walk around. I used to watch how you operated, and I said there was a managerial look about you, and there was a vision about you that I actually saw, and that's why I said that to you back then in 2016. So to see it actually formalized, though, I feel very proud, and I really wish you all the best as you move forward.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Any questions for Adrian, gentlemen, Basil, Dr. Ford, Philo?
Well, Adrian, I kind of wish your company was around when I was a sports administrator. It's one of the most comprehensive, offering of services I've seen. Of this type, and I know that your real focus is cricket from some of the things that are there. And I remember watching you and Sherwin Campbell in that big 200, and I think it was about 76 stand. I happened to watch that night. That was a really good night. But I think for individuals who are involved in sport and also transitioning some from sport as a cricketer then and in the job you are at now, when did you conceptualize making that shift from cricket and getting into another sphere after the game was over?
I think again, like I mentioned before, I think I've been fortunate. I think people obviously see something in me and took a chance. It all started with the 2007 World Cup in the Caribbean. I remember getting a call from Roland, actually saying, and who was with Cricket World Cup at the time, based in Jamaica. Said in 2006, it said, Adrian, we have a position for cricket operations manager, and we think you should do it. And that's how I got into administration. I mean, I enjoyed I enjoyed being part of that. It was obviously history making, but that's how I got into admin side of cricket. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I think we had a good time. It wasn't the greatest World Cup as a thing, but I think everyone had a great time. I think it's the best World Cup in some instances that there have been. But following on from that, I was able to, because of the things that I did and understanding one or two of the things, I became a match referee. So because I did that, and because of the role of the job that I did at the time, a lot of it lent to what the match referee did in terms of looking at facilities and making sure that the facilities were right. And then again, fortunate enough to become an ICC match referee for the Americas region. And then when the person who I reported to left, the boss asked me if I applied for his job. And at the time I said no, because my goal was to be an elite referee. And he said, you should apply for it. And I said, well, no, I don't want to do that. And then I thought about it and I said, well, if your boss asks you to apply for a job, you probably should.
It's a hint.
Yeah.
Definitely so a hint.
I did. And then they offered me the job in 2012. 3 years later, he left his post. So basically he was grooming me for his position. And I became a senior manager in cricket. So again, that's how I fell into it.
Well, but Adrian, you would have done all those things and you would have been on that trajectory. But what would have made you do the LLM in sports law and practice?
Yeah. Again, always looking to move forward, always looking for the next step, always looking to push myself. So it was around trying to understand the governance of sport. So when I looked at the syllabus, a lot of it spoke towards governance on what, how sports organizations and federations, national federations and global federations, what things they do. And we're talking about governance, we're talking about ethics, we're talking about understanding how events are done and what the rights and rules are in terms of law. And it just led to that. And it was a career move to see, because I was looking to do, to become general manager cricket at ICC, which I applied for, didn't get. But that was the trajectory, trying to understand how the governance level works and to be able to understand that and move forward.
Yeah, but you're specially placed to even manage to help to put on an event like this. But something that I find interesting, that's also a big part of another sport that I love, the NFL, is analytics. I wonder if analytics is something that's used a lot within the West Indies. I know we see guys with computers. I know they're doing something. But, you know, in the NFL, analytics is used to, for people who don't know or who don't have the experience, it helps to guide you in situations and tells you what to do and when. What's your feel for the use of analytics in the region and generally in world cricket?
Yeah, I can't speak to the region. I'm sure they're doing some form of it because I reckon all teams are doing it. How much of it they're doing, I'm not sure. But again, that's the sort of thing that I think if we can gather data and show people data to say so that it helps them to perform better. It helps them to identify areas that they could be better in as well. And it also helps them to be consistent. Because if I can show you, so let me give you an example. When I left I did most of the technology at ICC, and a company approached me and said, look, we're trying to get this ball going where the ball actually tells the story. There's no, everything that we do now is told through cameras, but we actually have a ball now that can actually tell you what the bowler is doing. So the spin rate, if the seam is wobbling, what pace is it at, bounce. So I'm working with a company now to get that sort of thing. And they came to me because they said they have a smart ball. But if I had to be honest, I don't really care about the ball. Having a pretty ball is fine. What data can we get from that ball that is useful for players, for coaches at different age levels? What stories can we tell on broadcast? So I'm working with them now to develop that, to move that forward. And again, everything that I'm trying to do is to make people better. So if you can get data and put that in the hands of the right people, that helps them get better. That's the sort of thing that we're looking
for. This is heavy stuff here. There's no doubt about that. We really have to do a part two with you. There's no question about that. And would really want to stay with us. We still got another couple of minutes left on the show. No doubt we will want to look back at your time at the ICC. We are very proud of you. you know, as a fellow Barbadian, and we are very happy that you have taken that step. But just hold your horses for a bit, because in recent times, I note with interest that locally here in Barbados, that the vice president of the Barbados Cricket Association, Mr. Calvin Hope, is now the acting president of the Barbados Cricket Association. So I just want to confirm this. Mr. Hope, can you confirm that you are the acting president? Calvin, where's Calvin? Can you confirm that you're the acting president?
What I can tell you is that in accordance with the BCA rules, revised in 2016, that where a president is unavailable to perform the duties of that post, the vice president would take on those duties, would be vested with those duties, and the board would do that. So that's in accordance with the rules. And to date, Mr. Reilly is unavailable. We got a note from him saying that he's unavailable from the 9th of February to the 10th of March. And therefore, the board has asked me to perform his duties, duties of the post. Mm.
Did he indicate why he's unavailable?
Well, that's not funny. He's just unavailable. And that's Mr. Reilly's personal business. Mm. And we leave it at that.
So you are the vice president. You're the vice president, and you're acting as president of the Barbados Cricket Association.
Well, you may want to mix the words. I'm just saying that in accordance with the rules, president not available, the vice president assumes his duties. For instance, if there's a board meeting,
right,
and the president not present and not available to chair the board meeting, the vice president chair the board meeting.
Mr. Wallace, did you know this, that there's been a development at the BCA? Did anyone tell you anything?
Hi, Calvin. There are many developments at the BCA. And Calvin and I work on a project, and I hope it bears fruit sooner rather than later. Yeah, of course, I've been that Mr. Reilly has not been around. Obviously, it's not as well as expected. And the vice president has been asked to step up and lead the ship. And Calvin has been the deputy to Condé for some time, and I think he's capable enough. He has a lot on his plate, but I hope that he has good deputies around him that can help, because it is massive coming up to that World Cup. That's I heard it, but obviously when Calvin confirmed it, so it's better, because you don't want to go on too much hearsay. Everybody's looking to put you in court.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Be careful. So it's nice that Calvin could come and clear the air situation with the president. And we want to wish him all the very best and a speedy recovery, and hope that he can come back fit and do the job that he's expected as president. And I wish Calvin all the very best in holding strain. I hope that he holds it very well. I don't know if this is the opportunity, Calvin, to ask you if you'll be attending Cricket West Indies board meetings, seeing that you would know the acting president.
Good question.
Allows you that flexibility to go and represent Barbados?
Well, as I said, the date's there, 9th February to the 10th March. If it is required that Cricket West Indies have matters that would involve, you know, its board, then... A note was sent to the to the Cricket West Indies advising of those dates and what the position is in terms of performing duties as president. So in the post of president. So if in between that time, but we just deal with that time.
I see.
So we just deal with
Dr. Ford. Continue, Philo. Sorry to interrupt you. Continue, Philo.
I just want to say hello to Adrian, obviously coming from St. James.
Yes.
Horderson man.
Yes.
Leaving the ICC after 11 years would have been a hard thing to do after pushing for higher honors in that organization. and not getting those honors, but advancing yourself. And obviously, you'll use the experiences that you've garnered in working for the ICC or other institutions to really launch out. I think that, you know, if you listen to Barbados cricket, there's a grant that's been given to the Barbados and the BCA for this World Cup. There's an indoor facility. About $10 million is going to be invested by the government. So we have a son of our soil who is into that kind of stuff that maybe his services could be required to help Barbados to really get that indoor facility up and running and in the international class that the government expects it to be, and all the other factories that will go within that indoor facility. So I just want to congratulate you, Adrian. I hope you continue to move from strength to strength. When doing law is good. This is the best thing in the world, I can tell you. To get understanding. You smile when people do wrong.
In fact, Adrian,
first of all,
if can you make a commitment to join us again?
Before you go, Andrew.
Yes.
Yeah, before you go, I want to say hello to Philo as well.
Yes.
We've spent many times at the crease together. Enjoyable times. So I just want to say hello to you, Philo. Nice to see you. Nice to hear from you. And thanks for your kind words, mate.
Is it possible, Adrian, that you can join us next week? Because we need to do a part two. I know that you were very busy. We were hoping to have you from as early as 6:15, but we know you're very, very busy. But is it possible that we can, you know, really promote that you're coming next week? I mean, can you block some time off for us next week? Adrian, can you do that?
The only thing is that I leave Florida tomorrow. So right. I'm back in Dubai. And I believe we're 8 hours ahead. So if you think if it's 6 o'clock that you're 6 o'clock and eight, six and eight is midnight. So I'll commit to you now. Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. So we're going to promote. Look who we found. So we'll do that. Final words, of course, with you, Mr. Hope. So we're going to get a press release that you are the acting president. I haven't seen that.
Well, I mean, you heard it tonight.
Yes.
I don't think there's
Well, we break stories all the time, Mason, and guess we're in the business of breaking stories.
There's no need for it's just a temporary situation until Mr. Reddy communicate with the board again or until the 10th. We wait and see what happens from there.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Calvin. It was good of you to come and tell all of Barbados on the Mason and Guest Show that you are now the acting president. Mr. Reilly is on leave, and he's due back around March the 10th. Thanks, gentlemen, for coming. This was a wonderful show. Thanks to you, Barry Wilkinson, who's going to be a lawyer very soon. He's going to represent me when I get into trouble. Thanks to you, Basil Butcher, good man. Thanks to you, Adrian, with a smile as broad as Holders Hill. Thanks, of course, to you, my very good friend, Philo Wallace. Thanks to all those who participated in the show. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a Barry tomorrow. It's good night.